on the line now, the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure and listen to the Send It In podcast. For more analysis, just search Send It In wherever you find your podcasts. We do welcome in PJ Glasser now. A regular Thursday visit moved to a Friday, helping us get primed for a football weekend. PJ, welcome in. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you being flexible this week. Yesterday ended up being my off day, so working today, but it's good. We get another day to look at some of these lines, watch stuff move. So yeah, great to be with you guys.
Let's kick it off with some, you know, with some college football. One of the first games of the day, one of the best games of the day, and it features one of the teams we follow, Kansas State. Provo was real weird last week. Oklahoma State comes in as well from a loss out of a Utah team. K-State's a 4.5-point favorite. It was at 5.5, I think, when it opened, so it's moved a little bit toward Oklahoma State, but that surprises me a little bit. PJ, what's your read on that line?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards Oklahoma State, guys, plus the points. It's not an official bet for me, but both of these teams, I kind of look at them the same in terms of both of their quarterbacks are really struggling to throw the ball right now, right? K-State, obviously, with Avery Johnson, we know what kind of athlete he is, struggling to throw. Alan Bowman for Oklahoma State, same thing. He was awful versus Utah this past week, so both those teams, you know, will obviously look to control the line of scrimmage, run the football, kind of lean on their defense, play field position. Both teams are well coached, and it's a huge game for both teams, right? I mean, you kind of figured at the beginning of the year, the Big 12 championship would probably be Utah and then a combination of one of these two teams. This is a massive, massive game with both of them losing last week, already losing a game in conference play. Would lean towards Oklahoma State plus the points. Obviously, I mean, Manhattan's a really tough place to play, really tough place to win. I think Kansas State squeaks out a close one, but I'll take those points with the Cowboys.
It's one of the few top 25 matchups in college football this weekend. Of course, the premier one, Georgia, Alabama. You know, of course, with Nick Saban now out, not with Alabama anymore. I think that really, obviously, Kalen DeBoer is establishing his own culture down there with the Crimson Tide. But Kirby Smart now becomes kind of the class of the SEC. Of course, Texas probably wants to stake their claim to that as well. But Georgia, number two in the country, Alabama, number four in the country. What do you like in that one?
It's going to be a heck of a game, guys. You know, I'd love to come on here and tell you, like, I have a definitive play for who I like, but I'm really making a case for both sides. You know, it feels like for the first time in a long, long time, Georgia can kind of play that, like, underdog role, even though they're favored. It feels like a lot of people like Bama to win the game. Both teams are coming off a bye, which makes it awesome. The fact that Kirby gets 2 weeks to prepare, DeBoer gets 2 weeks to prepare. I think what's really interesting about this matchup, you guys, is Kirby Smart and Nick Saban faced off six times against each other, and all six of those matchups, the final score went over 49 points. And right now we're looking at total at 49.5. Those were obviously two defensive coaches that knew each other extremely well. And now we're getting two coaches that have never squared off against each other. You know, DeBoer's never played against Kirby, even when he was an OC at Indiana, head coach, whatever it may be. They've never gone up against each other. The one kind of thing that we maybe have to compare is obviously DeBoer's matchups going up against Dan Lanning, who came from Georgia with Kirby Smart when he was his defensive coordinator. And, I mean, DeBoer, he dominated those matchups, and his teams put up points. So Georgia's skill weapons, I'm very concerned about. You know, they don't have a Brock Bowers this year or a Ladd McConkey, and their offense just isn't as explosive as we're used to them being. Obviously, they got a great quarterback in Carson Beck. I would give the advantage to Bama, though, on offense. Defensively, Georgia hasn't given up a touchdown this year on defense. And looking at what Clemson's been doing to people recently, that looks more and more impressive. So it's a tough game to really handicap both side and total. If you had to make me pick it, I'd probably take Bama. But guys, this just might be one of those games to bet live. You know, we talk about that a lot on this show with spreads that are this tight. Don't feel like you have to make a pick right off the bat. You know, if Bama goes down the field and scores 7-0, you might get like a +3 with Georgia. And then I think that'd be a great bet, or vice versa. You could get a +3.5 with Bama and just wait it out. But if you had to make me pick the game, I'd probably take the Tide.
What we do, PJ, with Kansas? They keep one-upping themselves in blowing games late. they've clearly, to me anyway, been the better team in all of these losses they've had now in a row. All three of them, they've been the better team, but they can't win the game. So they get TCU, they're back home, they're 2-point favorites. When you see things like that where teams are not living up to their expectations, do you feel like that's an opportunity, or is it the opposite? Like, stop ignoring what's staring you in the face. This team doesn't know how to win games. I don't know how to bet them.
So it's funny, Jacob, you asked that, you phrase it that way, because I kind of view Kansas right now the same way that I'm viewing the Ravens, where I kind of want to just bet them in the first half, but I don't want to trust them for all four quarters. You know what I mean? And yep. I think that's the way to do it with Kansas again this week. Like, you don't want to trust them the first 60 minutes. But like you said, I mean, they've suffered some tough losses this year. UNLV, West Virginia, Illinois. They just haven't been able to close these games out. So I'll just take them in the first half, because obviously they want to get it right. They want to win these games. And I trust their coaching staff to have a good game plan early. They're at home. So I just take them in the first half on the money line at minus 130. And then I just get out, you know, and don't sweat it for the rest of the way. And that's my thought process with the Ravens and the Bills, one of the marquee games in the NFL, where Lamar's great in the first half. Harbaugh's great straight up in primetime games at home. But we just know the Ravens collapsed in the fourth quarter. Kansas has kind of been the same way. So with teams like that, that have good coaching staffs, play well for a majority of the game, should be winning these games and covering these spreads. I think first half's a great angle for Kansas and for the Ravens this week as well.
Are you at a point now in the college football season, PJ, where, you know, now through 4 weeks, you know enough, or at least you feel like you know enough about teams that you can maybe look ahead a little bit and look at some things in the future? Are there futures bets now with 4 weeks in that maybe are a little bit more solidified, or things you feel comfortable with, or is it still too early?
Yeah, I definitely think there are. I think for the Heisman too, and Tommy, it's great that you bring this up. You know, everybody's going to be just wanting to bet the Bama-Georgia game. Another way that you can attack that is in the Heisman market, right? Jalen Milroe right now, plus 800 to win the Heisman. Carson Beck is 16-1. So whatever team that people like to win that game this week, if you think that the quarterback, whether it's going to be Milroe or Beck, has a really good game and his team's going to win, I mean, guys, we might see those odds cut in half, whether it's Beck go all the way down to plus 800, 900, or Milroe might become the new favorite at plus 400, because obviously these are the kind of games where you win the Heisman Trophy, right? We talk about those Heisman moments and beating the best of the best. So, yeah, the Heisman market's certainly something I'm keeping my eye on, and some of these conference markets, you know, is something that I'm keeping my eye on too. Like, the ACC at this point looks like it's going to just kind of be a two horse race between Miami and Clemson. Clemson's like plus 350. And even though Miami's going to be favored in that ACC title game, Clemson is not going to be plus 350 on the money line. So you can start thinking about those kind of things where maybe you take a shot on a team in the conference market, not necessarily because you think they're going to win, but because you think you're going to get much better value than when that team is playing in that championship game, and they will not be that price when they play on the money line.
Before we switch to the NFL, PJ, you know, some of us are suckers for parlays, and we've got some bonuses and boosters to get filled out. So give us just a couple of your favorite college football plays that we haven't talked about this weekend.
So, yeah, one of the marquee games I really do like this week, guys, is going to be Penn State minus the 17.5 against Illinois. Top 20 matchup. Penn State's laying a bunch of points. Illinois's already won two games this season as outright underdogs. Obviously, the Kansas game, they beat Nebraska last week as well. So I think this is just one of those classic cases where the line's high for a reason, right? Like, people are going to see number 9 versus number 20, and number 20 is catching 17.5 points. And that's why Illinois is one of the most public bets this week, because they're a top 20 team and they're catching all those points. I just don't know how they score in this game. The reason Illinois has been successful this season is because they've been able to muck it up, and they've been able to lean on their defense, and they've been able to win the turnover battle. If they fall behind to Penn State, guys, I just don't think they're going to have the firepower to come back and cover this spread. So that game really feels like 30-3 to me, somewhere in that neighborhood. Those are the kind of games where Penn State tends to roll to. Like, you don't want to bet Franklin against the Ohio States, the Michigan Michigan, the top tier teams, but you want to bet him against kind of those middle teams in the Big Ten. So I like Penn State a lot. I also like Auburn. I mean, it's a really ugly bet against Oklahoma this week. I view those teams the exact same. Both teams are good on defense. They're getting horrendous quarterback play right now. The difference is that Auburn's at home, and Oklahoma is going to be starting Michael Hawkins this week, who's a true freshman quarterback, has to go on the road in a difficult environment against an Auburn team that needs a win in the worst way, right? I mean, if they drop this game, they're 2-3, and they still got to play Bama. They still got to play Georgia. You know, I mean, they still got to play some really tough teams. So that's a must-win game for Auburn. And the fact that Oklahoma is starting a true freshman, I'll roll with the Tigers plus 2.5, and I like Penn State as well.
Shifting to the NFL, PJ, I got to tell you, I'm pretty angry at the spread right now for the Chiefs and Chargers game. Kansas City headed to the West Coast to take on the Chargers, and it's all over the place as far as the Chargers are concerned. Derwin James suspended out for the game. They're banged up. Justin Herbert has about 17 different injuries that he's dealing with right now. It's a classic situation of Kansas City playing the Chargers, because the Chargers seem like they're always injured when these two teams match up. The spread right now is at a touchdown. I mean, I'm getting it right around 7 right now, and I'm angry at that because Kansas City has not been good at covering the number this entire season. But I don't know what to do considering the Chargers are so banged up and they're going to be, you know, without several different players. Is there an angle on this game that you like?
Yeah, I actually like the Chargers plus the points this week, guys. I think Kansas City wins. This game just, for me, feels very similar to what San Francisco and the Rams were last week, right? Where you got a divisional game. The Niners are big favorites. They're on the road at SoFi, ironically enough. And all the Chargers really have is their quarterback, like the Rams do. It looks like more and more that Herbert's going to play in this game. They're without Derwin James, as you mentioned, Tommy. They're not going to have their two top tackles in Alt and in Rashawn Slater as well. So this is one of those games where you kind of look at it on the surface, right? And you're like, how are the Chargers going to keep this game close? We know how incredible these big underdogs have been in the NFL so far this season, right? Not only are they covering, they're winning outright. I don't think the Chargers win outright, but as you guys know, Chiefs-Chargers games tend to be close, right? It's not like the Chiefs, even though Mahomes dominates them, it's not like he usually blows them out. These games are usually one possession, so I'll take the Chargers to keep it close. I like them plus 7. I also love Travis Kelce over receiving yards in this game, guys, at 46.5. I think we're all waiting for the breakout Kelce game, and he dominates the Chargers. Now, obviously, that's been going up against Brandon Staley defenses, and you're wondering, you know, against Harbaugh and Jesse Minter, kind of what they scheme up. But Derwin James being out is really going to be big at going up against Kelce. So I like Kelce over receiving yards. I like the Chargers plus 7 as well.
On that same game, I just think it's interesting because we haven't been used to it. We've got a total under 40 in a Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Now, they've been a good defense. But a total under 40 in a Chiefs game? The world is upside down in the NFL.
It's crazy, right? I mean, and a big part of it, I think, is because we're so used to Kansas City being great in the red zone and scoring touchdowns. And obviously, a big part of that is Kelce, and he hasn't been featured much this season, and he hasn't scored. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like 39.5, I would think the over would probably be the play in that game. I do think the Chargers are going to be able to score, you know, not having their two top tackles. They're ranked 30th in football and passing yardage, but they're going to run the football. They're going to do what they do. I still think the Chiefs are going to put up points. So it is a low total. I would still go over that, though, thinking that the Chargers will, especially because I like the Chargers to cover the spread. You know, if people are out there with me and thinking the Chargers are going to score, you would think they're going to have to keep up with Kansas City a little bit. So do like the over, and obviously Chargers plus the points, as I've been saying.
I know you're the expert, so I want to throw this out at you and see if you agree with me, if you think I'm on the right track here. One of my favorite bets of the entire weekend in the NFL is the Bengals-Panthers game, the over, because Andy Dalton came in last week, and it was like all of a sudden the offense was unlocked for Carolina. On the flip side with Cincinnati, you know, you've got Ja'Marr Chase looking like he's kicking things into gear. T. Higgins has returned a little bit. And so I really, really like that over. Also, Cincinnati's defense last week was atrocious. That's probably my favorite bet. That over-under is at 47. I love the over.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? The way that Cincinnati's defense has looked, and then the way that Carolina obviously looked with Dalton. Guys, it's so funny coming into the season. A lot of people, myself included, thought Carolina would be much improved this year because of Canales' track record with kind of turning around quarterbacks, right? And he thought he would do that with Bryce Young. Maybe he's just going to do that with Andy Dalton, right? Like Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, like Dalton kind of fixed the mold of kind of a veteran quarterback that Canales can turn around. He obviously looked great last week. I didn't touch the total, Tommy. I wouldn't bet the under. It would only be over or pass for me. I just worry, you know, the Panthers are coming off a great offensive performance. The Bengals are coming off a terrible defensive performance like that. The over just almost feels like too easy to me. Maybe it is. That might just be one of those games where the teams are moving the ball back and forth and, you know, they're settling for a bunch of field goals and the game goes under. So I wouldn't bet the under. It would only be the over for me. But that total is going to be a pass.
All right. Before we let you go, PJ, kind of the same thing. We ask you about specific games, but give us your favorite handful of NFL bets for Sunday.
So, yeah, I told you guys I like the Chargers +7. Really like that one. I like the Ravens quite a bit in the first half, -0.5. We were talking about that game as well. I think they get off to a hot start against the Bills. Another game I really like this week, guys, is Arizona -3.5 against Washington. I mean, how can you not fade the Commanders this week, right? Off of that huge win on Monday night, short week, going on the road against Arizona. Everybody's talking about how great Jaden Daniels is and how incredible he played, and as they should be. He was spectacular in that game, but that Commanders defense still really worries me, right? Like, Burrow and the Bengals didn't punt in that game. They were putting up a ton of numbers. So Arizona and Kyler Murray have been really good on offense this year. I think they're going to be able to put up numbers. Let's keep in mind, too, right? Arizona faces Kyler Murray every day in practice, so they should be able to handle a mobile quarterback where Cincinnati had no answers for it last week against Washington. Just one of those cases, guys, where I'm fading a team off a big, big win, right? We did that last week. Tampa was coming off that big win against Detroit. They turn around, get smashed by Denver. The Raiders were coming off that big win against Baltimore. They turn around, get smashed by Carolina. Like, this is why I talk about spots so much in the NFL, because it really is a roller coaster with these teams. You know, like, not all wins are the same. Not all spots are the same. I just think this is a good one for Arizona. They're coming off a tough loss. They're back at home. Washington, short week off of a huge win. I'll take Arizona -3.5.
All right, PJ, we appreciate it. Good luck with the bets this weekend. Thanks for moving around with us, and we'll talk again next week.
Always look forward to it, guys. Good luck. See you next week.
That's the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We're going to come back. We're going to make some more picks. We'll put it on the line here. We'll bring in Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage. Here we go. That's when we return. Jad's got receipts, too. I'm not sure we want him, but he's got them.